Kids. We on. There we go. Morning. Could I ask the team helping with the collection this morning just to come up? And this morning, my message is about hearing God and responding and not seeing the circumstances and fearing. And so as we've come to bring our tithes and our offerings this morning, just hang on a second. Come here. I really want to encourage you that our giving is out of response and not out of fear. Is that a true heart is one that worships the Lord. We worship Him with our giving. And that we do it with a thankful heart. You know that our giving is not this knee-jerk reaction. It really isn't. And it's not protection fees that we're paying. It's also not a bribe. If I pay you, Lord, will you love me? And it's not a return on investment either. When we come and give, I'd rather come and say, Lord, I'm coming to sow into your kingdom. The truth is we are giving. But the deeper truth is we're sowing into God's kingdom. And so I want to urge you this morning that call out to the Lord and hear His voice on your giving. Because the Lord will not manipulate you in your finances. His way is the best way. Amen? I pray for the businessmen in this church that God gives you strategies this year to grow and to be fruitful and to reap a bountiful harvest. For those of you that are employed, you have an employer. As employees, I pray you'd go to your boss with ideas that would turn his business around. Because that's who God's people are. We're favored in the land. And then we will come with our finances and we will sow into God's kingdom because we want it extended on the earth. And so this morning, take your finances in your hand. If you don't, take a coin. If you give electronically, thank you. Take a coin in your hand. But as we give this morning, let's sow into God's kingdom. And so Father, we come this morning, we say, Lord, speak to us in the area of our finances. We pray, Father, we would be a blessing where we are employed. And that, Father, when we are employers, that those that work for us would be blessed because we know you. And so this morning, Father, we come and we sow this seed in our hand into the kingdom. And Father, we give you thanks because you are called Lord of the harvest. And we pray that what we sow into your kingdom this morning will bring harvest to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Beep, 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 beep. Well, I must tell you, I'm ready for the year. I really am. And, you know, I promise you, I'm one of those guys it's easy to give vision to. Esty always says, I wake up in the morning, I look out the window, I really got vision for the day. She's like, what's wrong with you? You're like, get up, you look out the window, oh, babe, I got vision for the day. She says, all you saw was the old tree outside. I said, yes, I know. But I was born for purpose. I really believe that. I'm not arrogant about it. But I was born for purpose. Why? Because God created me. Therefore, I have purpose. You see, that's the truth. If I get up in the morning and say, oh no, not another day, I automatically don't have purpose. And what I'm saying to the Lord is, I know you created me and you have purpose for me, but I don't want to see it today. Because I had a late night last night, I've got this terrible week. But you see, that's not the truth. Just this week, talking to people, there's a whole lot of people excited about this year. And all I did was I encouraged them. I said, oh boy, you've got to go for it. Hear God's voice, because He's going to do magnificent things with you this year. You know, I don't want to go through this year and hack through the year. You know, like the guy with a panga, going through the forest, hacking, hacking, hacking. At the end of the day, all he's got, a blunt panga and bandages around his hand with all the blisters on. Now the forest is down, but he's not looking so hot. I want to be the guy with a chainsaw. I'll get to the end of the day, the whole forest is down, but I'm a whole lot better for it. Haven't had these blisters on my hands. Achieve the same thing. It's like those guys at the ice rink. You've seen them. You go to the ice rink, they glide around on that ice. Here I'm stressing and straining just to stand upright. You know, I like chop along. You know that little front thing called a toe pick? I use that to move along. And then someone behind me looks like someone's got a golf club and made divots in the ice where I've been. Got these holes in the ice. That's how you know where I've been. And then you get these guys that come and they glide so effortlessly on the ice and they just irritate me. Firstly, it's not right a man looks so gracious in ice skates. After all, they're just rugby blutes with blades on the bottom. That's all they are. Nothing special about them. Secondly, they irritate me because they seem to mock me without mocking me. They come past. They don't laugh at me and point. They don't whisper to their mates as they glide past. They just give you the head twirl. Like that, when they glide. I'd rather they laugh out loud and point. That head twirl presses all the wrong buttons. I want to say to them, don't head twirl when you come past me. Rather laugh out loud. It will be better for you. It unleashes Eric the Viking in me. I'm sorry to say. And so they come past, the head twirl goes. And then I do that Olympic move called the leg extension. 5 seconds later, gravity comes to my aid. They're on the ice, flat, horizontal. As the divot king shuffles past them, they're looking up like this. But the truth is, gliding is less effort. You get a lot further, a lot sooner, with a whole lot of finesse than you would if you just hacked along with a toe pick. But you see, I eventually did get to glide across the ice. You know how that happened? What I did was, is I listened to somebody who knew what they were talking about. I learned to glide across the ice. I heard what they said, and then I applied what they told me on how to glide across the ice. Not because I had to, but because I really wanted to glide across the ice. I listened to what they had to say. Then they got up and they said, come with me. Let me show you how. And so as we look ahead to this year, wouldn't it be wonderful to glide through this year? With someone speaking to us through the tough parts, but also rejoicing with us through the exciting parts. Encouraging us, saying, no matter what happens, I'll be alongside you. Every step of the way. Steve spoke this morning about this year dreaming. Lord, what's your purpose for my life? Every single one of you sitting here this morning has a purpose for this year. Our challenge is to hear from the Lord. Lord, what is it you want me to do this year? Because I know I was born with purpose. I've titled my message this morning, hearing the Lord and responding is better than seeing the circumstances and fearing. You see, because that is the truth. I'm going to preach from the book of Jeremiah this morning. Such a good example of hearing from the Lord and not seeing the circumstances. Let me give you a little background to the prophet Jeremiah. He was born and raised in a small little town to the northwest of Jerusalem called Anathoth. He was a prophet when he was very young, and he was a prophet for 40 years. So he had a long ministry. He wasn't a fly-by-night. He was prophesying for 40 years to the nation. He understood the people in Jerusalem. And in doing that, he also brought a hard word to them. He wasn't afraid to criticize what was happening there. And the book of Jeremiah set in very, very tumultuous political times. The Syrians had just fallen, and the Babylonians were on the rise. And he had a difficult life. He really did. His messages of repentance that he delivered at the temple were not well received. His hometown plotted against him. He endured persecution through his entire ministry. And then at God's command, he never married. But he was a faithful preacher. And the book of Jeremiah, it would appear he only had two converts. Barak, his scribe, and an Ethiopian eunuch called Ebed-Melech. Only two guys responded to his message, recorded in the book of Jeremiah. Now many call him the weeping prophet. And so we think, well, a weeping prophet must have been a bit of a wuss. But he wept for Israel. The title weeping prophet can mislead you to his toughness. Because he was determined, he was dedicated, long-suffering, but he was a visionary follower of God. When the Lord spoke, he listened and he responded. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians also viewed his own ministry being a bit like Jeremiah's. And Jeremiah's weeping doesn't characterize who he was. I would rather say he was the persevering prophet. For 40 years he brought a word to a nation that wouldn't listen. And so after the reign of Solomon, you know what happened? The whole big kingdom got divided into two. The 12 tribes, 10 went to the north, and they called it Israel. Two in the south called Judah. And in 721 BC, Assyria came, took the 10 tribes away into captivity. 124 years later, the Babylonians came and they took everyone in Judah captivity. Three deportations, wasn't it once? They took them three times over a span of about 18 years. This entire time, Jeremiah the prophet was prophesying. And so, some of you may recall a group, Boney M. Remember Boney M? Everyone with a side parting and hardly any hair remembers them, not so? It's funny, they were a German disco band made up of four Jamaicans. I don't know how that worked. But they had a song in 1978. Come on, you remember it. By the rivers of Babylon. Remember that song? Huh? Second highest selling single of all time in the UK. And it was about the exile of the Jews to Babylon. Here's the lyrics. Came from Psalm 137 and Psalm 19. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. When the wicked carried us away in captivity, required from us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight here tonight. How wonderful words. But that's how they felt when they were taken off into captivity. The Babylonians taunted them. Why don't you sing us those songs you used to sing in the temple about this wonderful God? I can see some of you guys saying, when I get home, I'm going to go find that record. You've got to remember it was 78, vinyl, no CD. You ain't going to play it. The prophet Jeremiah is writing in tough times. And so, I want to start reading at chapter 29, verses 4 to 7. At this stage, a whole lot of Jews had been deported. They were going off into exile in Babylon. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and don't decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Point one this morning. Despite what you see around you, the Lord calls us to live life in all its fullness. Look at what God tells him to do. Now you've got to remember, God's speaking to them through Jeremiah. They're in captivity. They've been taunted. Hey, sing those songs you used to have at the temple. They're in a foreign country under a foreign king. The Lord says, build houses and live in them. In other words, put your roots down. Plant gardens and eat the produce. The Lord says, I'm going to provide. Marry, have children, and give them to marriage. There's life where you are, despite what you see. Pray for the city you're living in, because that city is going to do you good. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. For you and me as a believer today, there is life that Jesus imparts to us. Life, eternal life, because He's our Savior, died and He rose again. He imparts eternal life to us. But He also imparts life for the here and now. Because that's what it says there. Granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us life to live now. Where we are, in this land, in this city, in your school, at your work. In Christ, we are positioned for purpose. We know who we are in Christ. Exactly as Steve said this. I got all excited again. I said, Lord, I'm going to give my life all over again and be baptized. I know who I am in Christ. Oh boy, I can't look forward to doing those things you've purposed for me, despite what I see and where I am. I can't see God giving life and then not having purpose for it. I can't see it. It's not logical for me. If God gives life, there's purpose. Everything God does has purpose. Therefore, if He gave me life, hello, I must have purpose. Even I'm going to look out the window and see the dead old tree. But I've got to tell you, something weird has happened over the last 3 weeks. Two trees in our garden suddenly just fell over. One crashed the fence a little bit. Okay, cut it down, put the fence back up. Woke up on Friday morning. Ooh, the tree fell down. Two trees just fell down. I said, Lord, thank you. You're going to make all those ugly trees in my life fall down. I don't have to do a thing. Estee said, I think you're taking it a little far. I was so excited about this year. I said, I'm not hacking through life. You're going to push the trees down that are in front of me. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Listen to this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Please, we all know you don't work to get your salvation. We know our identity. But man, there's other stuff that God's got for me. And I want to hear His voice because I want to do them. Why? Because what God has for me can only be for my good. No matter where I am. Look at the Jews that go to Babylon. What does the Lord say? Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat. Get married. Have children. And worst of all, pray for the city because it's going to bless you. In captivity. Foreign land, foreign gods. Ooh, Lord, this city. He says, no, pray for them. What would your response be? That's a question you've got to ask. If that was you, what would your response be? Having seen this all before you. Jeremiah comes. Oh, Lord, that's it. It's over. They broke my harp. Look what they did. They smashed my house down. They put me in this stinky old flat there in Babylon. It says, pray for the city because it's going to benefit you. Build houses and plant gardens. Get married and have children. That's kind of permanent. See, the Lord would say to us, don't look with your eyes. Hear with your ears what I'm saying. The Lord will speak where your eyes are saying impossible. But the Lord would speak encouragement to you, say, nothing is impossible with me. Listen to what I'm saying, and then you will see what I'm going to do. God was positioning the Jews with purpose. He was telling them to live. No matter where you are, I've placed you there. Live. Live a full life. Do you know that the Lord had positioned them for purpose? 70 years later, through Cyrus, the Lord calls him, go back to build the city and build the temple. Go and read the book of Ezra. It is absolutely amazing. Why? They were ready. You don't read in Ezra, Cyrus gets up, right guys, you can go back and build your temple. Ooh, we haven't got this, we haven't got that. We got no singers, we got no servants, we got no... They were ready. Go and read it, I'm telling you. They've been preparing. Why? They believed God. They said, the Lord said He's going to send us back. We're ready. Can you wait 70 years? Now, well, I personally can't, but you know what I mean. But I'm encouraged. Because when the Lord speaks, He speaks on purpose. Purpose in our lives. That's what He says. Goes on. Chapter 29, chapter 30, the Lord talks about restoration. In 31, He says, I'll turn your mourning into joy. And then later in chapter 31, verse 31, God declares and proclaims the coming of a new covenant. Here He's telling them, I know where you are. This is going to happen. I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to restore you. Where you were crying before, you're going to now be laughing and joyful. And then He says, He speaks prophetically. He says, I'm going to give you a new covenant. We know that comes through Christ. Listen, Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I'll put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. And He goes on. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Prophetic declaration of the new covenant to His people. Can you imagine Jeremiah's excitement? You've got to be that prophet. Put yourself in his shoes. He's prophet. The Lord's restoring. He's doing that. He's making a new covenant. Iniquities will remember no more. Sins forever forgiven. Come on, guys. God speaks to them. This is what I'm going to do. Jeremiah must have been doing cartwheels in that little prison cell. By the way, this time he was in prison. And speaking. Amazing how we have, after the test, and Paul speaks out of prison. But he must have been so inspired. Lord, I can do this. I can. And then in chapter 32, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah. He says this, buy the field from your cousin. By the way, the field's an occupied territory by the Babylonians. Can you imagine that? Point number two. The conviction with which you hear will determine what action you take. Here the Lord said, God, oh, Jeremiah, all excited, I'm going to restore the people. There's a new covenant. By the way, I need you to buy this piece of land. Oh, it's an occupied territory. The conviction with which you hear will determine what action you take. When my daughter was younger, I won't tell you which one, but she's just tall and skinny. At night you'd hear this, Dad, Dad. Be like this little soft siren going on in the background. Her voice convinces me she's thirsty. And for some reason, sleep caused her whole body to go lame because she can't get up and go 10 feet to get a little drink of water by herself. Eventually, I get up because if I don't, the dad is going to go the whole night till I wake up in the morning. So I go and get the water. Eventually. However, let that same voice in night go, Dad! War has broken out in my house. I get up without thinking. I leave my brain on the bed. I'll probably run into the door. But I'm ready to fight. Why? What I heard brought conviction. It wasn't the thirsty cry. It was the cry of, I'm in trouble. Come and help me. What you hear will determine the action you take. The conviction with what you hear will determine the action you take. In verse 16, Jeremiah says, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but can you give me some understanding? And so the Lord does. He says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? That kind of settled it for him. God's saying, no, the guys will go into captivity, but at the appointed time, I'm going to restore them back to the land, and that very land you bought, that's now an occupied territory, will be yours. And he did go buy the land. You can go and read it in Jeremiah. He bought the land from his cousin because he was convinced of the truth of what God was saying to him, despite what his eyes were seeing. You can say, well, Brad, I'm not sure if I can hear God's voice. Let me tell you, only sin separates us from the Father. Under the old covenant, animal sacrifices took place for your sin. No longer do you have to worry, is my lamb, my ox, or my dove enough? Because Christ became our sacrifice once and for all. To bring back restoration, a sacrifice was made. There's no more separation. Christ has done that for you and me. Done it on our behalf. In the book of Hebrews it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. You and me. Then He adds, I'll remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Only sin can separate us from God. That sacrifice has been made. When you believe in Christ, the separation is no longer there. Christ has restored that intimate relationship between us and the Father by what He's done on the cross. So if you ask me the question, can I hear from God? I have to say, of course you can. Because of what Christ did on the cross, His death and His resurrection, that intimate relationship has been restored. You can talk to the Father and the Father will talk to you. But it goes a whole lot deeper than that as well. In the Old Testament, we saw God coming down to His people. But now in the New Testament, it says He indwells us by His Spirit. You can't get much closer than that. When His Spirit dwells within you, that's pretty close. Is God far away from me? I don't think so. Romans 8 verse 9, the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that His Spirit dwells in you? James 4 verse 5, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. And so the question is, can I hear God's voice? I say, of course you can. It's not even a question. The question should be, what is God saying to me? Lord, let me hear clearly what You are saying to me. And when we speak to God, He hears us because He dwells within us. There's no more separation between us because of what Christ did. And so I want to encourage you for this year that when we hear the Lord and respond, it's far better than seeing with our eyes and fearing. Because God has promised and He has purposed things for you and me this year. His Word is full of it. Good things. He's always saying, I've got these good promises, I've got these good things in store for you, I've got good works laid up for you. Thought about them a long time ago, but they're for you. Go back to Jeremiah. People in captivity. In captivity, the Lord says, build and plant and marry and have children. And pray for the city. That's what the Lord saying to us. This year, I have purposes for every single one of you. I love Steve saying this morning, let's dream. Let's dream those dreams that God has for us. When we're dreaming, we're hearing from the Lord. Lord, speak to me for this year. In my business, for where I'm working. What are those things You want me to do? I'm excited about the Children's Church. God's going to do a whole lot of things. I believe He's purposed for some stuff to happen in Children's Church. We're going to see it overflow in our kids. That just makes me excited for this year. But He's also got a whole lot of things for you and me. Not just for our children. Our children, I tell you, when a child starts to talk about God and starts to see things and pray and the healings and all those things break out, encourages me. I say, Lord, can I have some of that? He says, of course you can, you're my child. It's so easy for our children. We've got all these, it's like blocking you. No, wait, hang on, no. Oh, if I say that, will they do that? Oh, I can't say that, I'm embarrassed about that. Kid just goes up. The Lord says, you go, ooh. I want to be bold this year in the things of God. I want to boldly declare what He has for me this year. I don't want to be afraid of what I see. Because His purposes for me are far bigger than what I see in the natural. And so if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what have You for me this year. And I want to exhort you, be courageous and respond to His voice. Because they're going to be good things and great things for you. There are good things and great things for this church this year. He has placed you here for a purpose. Everywhere you go, He's placed you. Your work, your school, in this church, with your friends, where you live. He has purposed that we be there. If you don't, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus Christ. How do I come to the Lord? How do I make Jesus my Savior? I don't want this separation between me and God. There's a little two verses in Acts. The Philippian jailer asked the same question you're asking this morning of Paul and Silas. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what the saved was? The saved was saved from a separation from God. What do I do? What do I need? What must I do to be saved? And they said this, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. I want families after God this year. Husbands, wives, and children. I mean, that just echoes it. All you got to do here, believe in the Lord Jesus. You will be saved, you and your household. If that's you this morning, I want to say, believe in the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord, I believe what you did on the cross. You died and you rose again. That my sins will be remembered no more. You paid the price that I was meant to pay for my sin. Past, present, and future. You rose again that I would have life. Here and eternally. And so this morning, won't you bow your heads as we pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are sure and your purposes are true. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would dream big this year. Lord, that we would hear your voice so clearly. Lord, that when we cry out to you, you would just speak to us. Lord, as the storms of life would come, that Father, that your voice would just quiet them. Lord, that we would hear from you. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, come and say, Lord, I believe. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died and rose again. Paid the price for me, that I may have that intimate relationship with the God the Father once more. Lord, we thank you. We ask for strength. We ask for courage, Lord, to respond to those things that you tell us. But Father, what a privilege to be your children. That God the Father speaks to His children. He guides and He leads His children. Lord, and that your purposes for us are good. Lord, we pray for our children this year. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would just come and minister to them. Lord, that your Spirit would come and indwell them. Lord, that they would come and have that revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, as parents, we pray, give us wisdom in guiding them in this journey. And so we thank you for this time with. I thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here this morning. That as we go from here, Lord, we would go with purpose and with vision. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ha! Give me a great year. There's tea and coffee over there. Visitors, your cap.